This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Congressman James Lankford. He's also a member of the House Budget Committee, and he is leading the charge towards a balanced budget amendment. There will be a vote on such an issue next week on the House floor. So how critical is the balanced budget amendment to what Republicans want to see in terms of addressing America's mounting debt? And what kind of result can we expect when the votes are counted? And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you again.
Well, the phrase we keep hearing is cut, cap, and balance. And obviously the third part of that is a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. Some say this is absolutely vital. Others say that this is a pipe dream politically, given the current numbers right now. You are one of those leading the efforts on this. What specifically does your proposal say?
Yeah, the proposal we have is let's do a balanced budget. We were at 96. We missed it by one vote in the Senate, passed overwhelmingly in the House with bipartisan support. There are a lot of Democrats that are willing to step up and say, yes, we need to get to balance. Then obviously in the Senate, we got one vote short of that. So we're saying let's reload. Democrats talk about a balanced approach, and they mean that means we need taxes. We say we need a balanced approach, and that means we need a balanced budget amendment. So we're both coming at it with the words balance, but we have very, very different meanings on it. I mean, it's fairly simple. If I go to just about every American and say, should we have a structure in place to make sure the federal government stays in balance, overwhelmingly, people say, yes, we should have that. So we're just lining up behind Republicans and Democrats and saying, let's get it done.
Talked with another member of your conference last week who is also bringing forth a proposed balanced budget amendment. Are these eventually going to be rolled into one, given the relative simplicity of what you're calling for here, or will there be votes on various languages in the proposed amendment?
You know what? That's still to be worked out. We're either going to have a vote on a version. Goodlatte and Walsh both have a version now that has 18% total spending cap. It has a supermajority for the balance for taxes. One is 2/3 and one is 3/5. And then some basic exceptions in case of war and such. Then how many years it takes to come in, where Goodlatte comes in 2 years, Walsh's starts in 5 years. All of those things can all get worked out on it. We understand that some Democrats are also making a proposal, and that's good, so we can get a chance to start negotiating and working this out. If they'll engage in this, so it's not a Republican-only issue, then we can get this done. People need to remember, Constitution's not a Republican or a Democrat document. It's an American document, and you've got to have both parties to be able to make changes. So we can make whatever proposal we want to make as Republicans, but you can't get it all done on a constitutional amendment with just Republicans. We've got to engage in this issue.
You mentioned how close this came to being at least sent to the states in 1996. Now, of course, things seem to be a bit more polarized up on Capitol Hill. Have you talked to a lot of congressional Democrats? Do you get the sense that there is a bipartisan appetite for this again?
Well, I have talked to several Democrats on it, and I think there will be an appetite with them putting a counterproposal on the table. That shows some willingness to be able to at least engage in the conversation. Then we'll see how far we're willing to go on it. As I'd mentioned before, this was very bipartisan before. So to me, this is an issue that if they went and asked the people back home in their district the same as I asked the people back home in mine, they would say, get that done. And I honestly, I look at it and think, in 1996, if they would have passed that balanced budget amendment, I do not believe the 2008 financial problems would have occurred, because we would have been in balance already as a federal government. We would have had money sitting in the Treasury ready to go. It would have been a very different experience in 2008 if we would have just been balanced in at least 2006.
Well, let's talk about what would happen next based on the two possible scenarios on this vote. First of all, if it does get the 2/3 majority in the House and Senate and goes to the states, how would that radically change the tone of the current debate about how to address the rest of the debt problem?
Well, that dramatically changes it. People back in my district are saying, don't vote for debt ceiling unless we can fix the problem. We have people that are pretty ticked that the federal government seems to show no restraint. And the biggest issue is there's no plan. I can't go buy a car and just say to the car dealer, I want to buy a car, will you give me a loan, and I have no plan to actually pay this back. They're going to want to know, you know, what do you have as a process? Do you have any personal assets? Can you pay this loan back? Right now, as the federal government, we just continue to borrow, and no one has a plan on the table to ever get us back into balance significantly. So we've got to at least establish a plan. We are going to get back in balance. We are going to start paying this off. This is not forever. Problem is, we're so far out of balance right now, you can't get there in a year. Be the equivalent of me walking up to people and saying, hey, why don't you pay off your mortgage next month? And that sounds like a good idea. They just don't have the financial means to pay off their mortgage next month. We're in that spot right now because we're so far out of balance that we can't just next month say, all right, in August, we're going to not do any more spend. We're not going to do any more borrowing. We'll just get in balance all of a sudden. We're so far out of whack, that's just not even possible anymore. So we got to work to get back to it.
Congressman, if the proposed amendment is rejected next week, I know there are some members who have said to me very plainly that without a balanced budget amendment, and I think you even alluded to this before, then any sort of other temporary addressing of this problem is largely worthless, and they may not even support any sort of extension of the debt ceiling. So if, in fact, it doesn't get the two-thirds, where will you stand on the rest of it?
Well, somebody's got to show me how we're fixing it, because I'm not interested in just increasing the debt with no solution. And so if someone has another option out there, it'd be all ears to be able to hear it. But at this point, no one's showing any other options on how we resolve this.
Well, let's talk very briefly here about the developments of the past 24 hours on this. The big story, of course, seems to be the dust-up at the White House yesterday between the president and your majority leader, Eric Cantor. Eric Cantor suggesting a series of small extensions of the debt ceiling, and the president basically saying that he's the only one apparently willing to compromise at this point. What do you make of the president essentially leaving the room in not exactly a great mood? And what do you make of Majority Leader Cantor's suggestion of the smaller increases over time?
Well, I think the smaller increases are a better idea. If we can't get a larger deal, I want to keep working until we do. And if it comes down to the final moments here, there's no reason to put the whole market in peril. Let's just do a two-month extension or so, extend it out, and keep working until we get this thing right. I would rather have a deal that's correct and it's really going to help us long-term to have then some shoddy deal that's halfway there. And my fear is they're going to try to negotiate some shoddy deal, try to get a lot of Democrats are involved in it, as well as split some other Republicans off and just do it that way. What we'll end up with is a weaker plan. So if we can get a short-term plan that extends us out, keeps the negotiations going, leaves at least the option that we can get a great focus on something that really long-term helps our solutions. And as far as the president getting frustrated, I completely understand. We spent the last 4 years as Republicans extremely frustrated as we watched him spend more than we've ever spent before, doubling our budget in the time the Democrats have been in the lead in the House and the Senate. We watched Obamacare get passed last year with $1 trillion in new taxes in it. We watched $1 trillion stimulus bill get passed. It would just spend, spend, spend like crazy. And now we get to the table and say, we need to negotiate to cut spending. And he says, no, I don't want to cut that much. I want to raise taxes again. We think, as much as you've been spending in the last couple of years, we've got to get this back in balance. So I understand his frustration because we've experienced it for the last several years. It's just time for us to be able to get this right.
Well, some big decisions to be made, and we'll certainly keep our eye on the votes on the House floor regarding the balanced budget amendment next week. Congressman, thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Oklahoma Republican Congressman James Lankford represents his state's 5th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.